Hello and welcome to episode 155 of the Talking Wednesday podcast. It's James and Jake here for you this week. I've reorganized my setup slightly. It's in the middle of reorganization, so I'm going to be looking around quite a bit today. And I don't like it because it's all on the wrong side and I look mirrored in the camera, Jake, and it's annoying me. But we hope this podcast finds you well. And I will ask, how are you, mate? How's your week been?
Oh, I'm so glad it had him done and dusted. It was good. It was good time. It was good to spend time with family and stuff and just get a lot of things done around the house. And I'm saying this now. I'm regretting the fact that we said, oh, let's get a Lego, because it hasn't turned into, oh, help me build Lego. It turned into me just sat there building Lego on my own while she's gone off somewhere. I made a mistake with that one. I should have thought about that.
It's the dream.
To be fair, it is, but not when she's like, is it finished yet? No, I need to add this bit. If it was just me at the table doing it on my own and had music playing, I'd be happy. But it's not. We've had that. It's been a weird one, because when it's half term, I tend to try and zone out a little bit more and not like be fully into the Wednesday fair. And when I do that, it's lovely. It is nice. I still do all the video, but I'm not as tapped in like I will be during the week when she's like at school and stuff. It gives me something to do. So it's been weird, because we're getting to the point where little and starting to make lots of noise, really vocal, which is good. But it's just been one of those weird weeks where I've been trying to figure out how to do stuff. Like in here, I'm changing things around in the next couple of weeks because I want to change around. But where everything is here is staying. It's the background is just all changing. And I think I've got to that point where I do it every 6 months. Every 6 months, I change a certain room if I'm able to how I want it a different way. Like we've ordered a brand new sofa for the house because that sofa was had for ages. It's now knackered. And it's just like, it's weird when you start like adding like these little pieces together when you get older. And it's like,
stupidly expensive sofas as well, aren't they? They're the one thing that you think, the one thing you don't, you overlook when you're younger, and then you have to buy one for your house. And it's like, oh my word.
It's like, I was looking at like a chair for in here. Like, I want something nice. I was like, I looked at it, like, yeah, I'm not paying anything over this because it's ridiculous. I'm tempted to nick the chair that's in the house, actually, and be a cheapskate. We got a Chesterfield chair that we got for free when one of our neighbours left. They moved out, but they couldn't take it with them. And I'm tempted to shove it in here somewhere, but I think I'm going to get ruled out on that one because it's a very, very nice chair. How's your week been anyway, mate?
All right, yeah. Little bit of travelling, little bit of... I had a conference on and stuff last week, and I was traveling about a bit. I was in central Sheffield for a couple of days, which I haven't been for a couple of months in terms of the actual center itself. But yeah, it was.
So you hit all the roadworks then?
Yeah. Yeah. like when I was. They seem to be doing a lot of different things with the M1 and the A1 at the minute. And they have been for what feels like forever. And when they finish one bit, they do the next bit. You think, oh, that's going to end soon. And then there was another bit. I don't know where I was driving the other day, but it said roadworks starting spring 2024 to be finished 2025. And I was like, oh, God. Again.
You're just living roadwork hell.
Just nothing is finished ever.
That happens.
Like the A1 has been a 40 for the past year and a half. There's a certain point, if you're going further north, that they've made it a single lane.
Oh God.
And they love to put the speed camera van there just so everybody does 40.
Yeah.
All fun and games. But anyway, in general, all right. Been getting my ass kicked on FIFA this week, which has made me
I've seen some of the tweets, actually.
I don't understand. Like, I feel like I'm so behind the power curve that I'm slightly ashamed to admit this, but I didn't even pass all the champs games. I couldn't even get 4 wins to qualify for champs this week.
Oh.
Granted, I only tried once. Like,
yeah,
but I got 3 wins. And then on my other one, I got a disconnection when I was 2-0 up. So I was like, great, thank you.
Not fun.
No, so I should have technically qualified, but...
Not that you're bitter about it.
Well, it's more of a case of I don't have time to really play the games, and I don't like wasting time. I've always said it's not wasting time if you're enjoying yourself.
Exactly.
But when I go through the stuff like that, and I'm just like, this is just annoying now. I don't want to play all these games and then play 20 champs games. You know, I'm just not.
Yeah.
Red Barry.
It's at that point where you feel like you're wasting your time because you're not enjoying it anymore.
Exactly. And I'll be honest, I just log in just to get the like daily rewards now because I do want to keep in the game purely because I am invested in the evolution. I've got a fully evolved Wednesday team. Like, I've seen some people glitch the evolutions and I wish I had because I could have like plus 90 rated players now, but I didn't know about the glitches until it's too late. So I've got a legit evoed Wednesday side where I've got a full 11, apart from the goalkeepers, you can't evo goalkeepers, that are Wednesday players. But my best player is obviously 87 rated Barry Bannon. And then you've got 84 Buckley, who's not with us anymore.
Oh, that's an interesting one as well. I started up a new career mode the other day. And I went to have a look to see where Duncan Maguire is. He transferred to Blackburn Rovers.
That's interesting.
In game, it's actually gone through.
Well, Pervader's still not gone through for us on Ultimate Team.
No, he hasn't.
Which is doing my absolute head. It's just a case of all the thing with the minute is the evolutions are the set evolutions for certain specific cards. And I'm like, that's not what it should be. I want to evo my players still. I will be about to get Michael Smith to an 81 rated striker. Because I had him in a few of the early evos and he didn't go very high. And then I put him in the skill moves in the weak foot evo. So he's now going to be 82. His pace is not great, to be fair, but he's a fun little striker. Because I enjoyed Michael Smith on career mode last season because he's tall.
Yeah.
So it's a case of I've got him and Windass up front, and then I've obviously got my 84 Musabe. It's just my back line's a bit because I wish I'd used different evos on Palmer because I've got Palmer with Intercept Plus, but he's a right. Yeah. He's an 80 rated right back, and then I've got like Bernard, who's got the Jockey Plus play style, but he's an 80 rated centre back. But then my other centre back is awful. I should, if the game wasn't stupid, I should have an 84 rated Owekwe. Because there was a thing called the Patrick Who glitch, and this will probably get some Wednesday fans who play EFC who try to do the same thing. I had evos on Michael Owekwe that should have put him to an 84 rated centre back with Anticipate Plus, which is my favourite defensive play style.
Right.
But the actual glitch, because I put him into Patrick Who, so he'd be eligible for this glitch, but they did something with the coding. And they basically made it that if you had a player in Patrick Who, you couldn't put him into any other evos that were currently active. I think they fixed it now because I can put him back into evos, but you couldn't put him into the midfield evos when you'd made, because Patrick Who basically turned a centre back. They gave him a central defensive midfielder so you could play him in central defensive midfield. So like all the websites said, oh, you can evo this player to an 84. So I set it in motion. I did the previous evos. And then I couldn't, so I'm stuck with a 73 rated Michael Owekwe when I could have an 84. I would actually genuinely play that Wednesday team in champs more than I do if I could have him in the centre back, because the problem is the defence, because you're just getting sweated. Even in my main team, I don't have good strikers. I've got like team of the year Harry Kane and stuff, and I've got that Bellingham pack, obviously, in midfield. But there's just not enough. I need somebody up front. Because when you're coming up against Mbappe, it's like I've used Mbappe in draft. Mbappe is a cheat code. You give me Mbappe, I'm winning a lot more. And that's the problem.
Well, we know what you're doing all this week.
Probably not playing it, to be honest. Started a survival run of Skyrim. I've gone back. You know, survival mode. Oh, Jake's got a face on. What's happened?
So apparently Birmingham City manager Tony Mowbray, who's required medical treatment and he's stepping away from the manager of the club for 6 to 8 weeks. That's most of the season, isn't it? Isn't that like all of the season?
It is, but that sounds quite serious. So all our thoughts were there. That's
yeah. Roy Hodgson at Palace, now Tony Mowbray. That's not good.
No, it's not.
Just when they were just starting to like get that form of well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's I'm gonna take football outside of that. Hope he gets well.
Yeah, same.
So yeah, let's go into the show then. Enough of us talking random things. Please do leave us nice reviews. You can do that. There's always a link below in the YouTube section to go and do that. Join us with membership options. There's a join button literally underneath this podcast version on YouTube. It's not on, it is on my homepage, but a lot of people can't find it on there. Just click on any of the videos and there's a button that says join.
Yep.
Discord access is available for we're only letting members into the Discord until we decide to have a revamp with it. Just so you're all aware, we talked about an in-person episode happening in February. We've actually pushed that to March because we've got more of a plan for it now. So there will be when me, Jack, Jake, probably Soph, all get round and do that. But yes, that's just the housekeeping out of the way. Let's talk about the fixtures we've not spoke about since they happened. We obviously were streaming the Leicester game.
Yep.
Do you want to quickly just summarize how the Leicester game felt, really? We felt like we were probably down with results going away from us the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. First off, we made it way too easy for them. Let's call it what it was. It was too easy. You look at their first goal. I understand what Volk was trying to do. He should have played it a bit further forward than trying to play it behind. But the problem is, he played it further forward, he would have had another Leicester player there to cut it out anyway. So he's damned if he did and damned if he don't. And I think the issue is, with the way we play out from the back, I've noticed it time and time again now, they are still too far away in positions to get the ball. So you're asking someone just to slip in, take the ball and go, and that's what they did. And it happens. I'm not one of the people who's like, oh, we should stop playing out from the back. If Danny got a way of doing it, let Danny do it that way, because it will improve and get better. And the thing is, and we'll talk about it in the next game, and the second goal, Vardy does what Vardy does. He goes, he didn't celebrate much. I thought second half, though, we were much better.
There was a lot of stick for him for celebrating a little bit.
I don't think he really did.
I thought it was a bit more subdued. It's not like he was giving
it. Quite muted.
You can sort of celebrate a goal, right? He's coming towards the end of his career. You celebrate every single goal.
That was his 450th goal career appearance as well for him. So,
at the end of the day, right, he's never actually played for us. We know he's a Wednesday fan. He didn't give it the big and he sort of just like sort of put his arms down, sort of like enjoyed it to himself. But it's not like he was giving it the big I am. Do you know what I mean?
So no.
I don't really have a problem with that. Like if he had like full on celebrated, I would have turned on him.
But at the same time, I still wouldn't have had a issue with him if fully on celebrated, because at the end of the day,
I would if he aimed it towards the fans or anything, because that'd have been weird, right? But it's but it's a case of he scored a goal. That's the way he does it. I still think it's one of those things. I think he'll retire at Leicester. I think he'll announce his retirement, to be honest. But
I think he'll be done.
But I do still think he could do a job for us, especially even at his age. Do you know what I mean? If he scored, what, 12 goals this season now? That's not a lot of goals, but I think like it would actually probably be a signing that made sense when we're shipping out players, you know?
It makes sense, but it doesn't make sense at the same time, because if you're bringing the age of the squad down, it doesn't make sense in that, because you can see what he's trying to do. But yeah. I thought second half, we were a lot better. We had more chances.
Yeah.
We looked like we were going for it. And this is the problem with Wednesday at the minute. We are, again, and I think we've been like this for a good couple of years, we are a team of two halves different. One half we're really good, one half we're not. And we've been like that for a while. But I think Danny's starting to get a little bit consistent with them. But it was one of those results where I think we all went into it thinking we were going to get battered. Coming away from it 2-0, I think, is more respectable than it actually was. It's just a shame that all the games the following day went against us, which was sod law.
I can't believe Huddersfield beat Sunderland.
No, I can't.
I was like, really? Really? And I thought it was over then, genuinely. I thought, that's unfortunate. It's over. But then we come to the fact that not all the results went for us on the day we played Millwall, but we got the job done at Millwall. So let's talk through that, shall we?
Yeah. Millwall, a team who are very void of any confidence. They had that whole situation. I think going into this, they hadn't won a game in the last 10 at home. And you're thinking, here comes Sheffield Wednesday to give you a win, normally. Yep. But in this one, completely different story. I think the difference in this was they had chances, but they weren't anything clinical enough. And we were able to go for them. We let them have a lot of the ball. We struggled to maintain the ball again in midfield, which is...
We didn't play out from the back as much as well, which is something I noticed straight away.
We kicked it long.
Yeah, and I was like, this is a manager that changes his tactical style, you know, depending on the opposition, because we just didn't press the same. We didn't. No. We kicked the ball long more. We had a different approach to it, and we managed the game really well.
And how it should have been.
And I was so impressed with the way that happened, right? Because it's showing we've got a manager that adapts to the situation. And you know where we said he might not have got that one right before? He fully got that one right.
He got this one right, yeah.
100%. Cracking through ball from Bannon for one of the goals, by the way. Absolutely, like,
just
on a plate. And then Masaba with the composure for the finish.
No one giving the Wednesday recruitment team any, like, what's the word? Appreciation of knowing that Masaba and Ugbo played together at that team in Holland. They already have a connection. Yeah. You can see that with what they're already doing. You can see in that goal, he already knew he was going to be there. He didn't even look up. He just knew he was going to be there. And I think that's really important going into this. At 2-0, you're thinking, great, let's carry on, see what happens. Second half, though, Millwall did come and give it a bit of a try. And they did try and go at us, but just didn't have anything. And Millwall fans are looking a little bit scarily now at the table, thinking they could get sucked into this.
They're right down in there. They are literally, they're only a point from the relegation spaces because QPR won. I was obviously watching it going, uh-oh, QPR are doing something here. By the way, if my camera's got a bit dark, I realised I was relying on sunlight, which is an amateur move, so apologies. But QPR won.
They keep getting results.
Yeah. They're about the same form as us, QPR.
Yeah.
Which is not what you want if you're a Huddersfield or a Millwall, because they're going to get dragged into it.
I have a theory here, and I have the thing that, well, Huddersfield, Millwall, Stoke are not great.
No, that's true.
The thing is, I've got this thing where you look at, shall we go into the championship results?
Let's do the table. Let's do the review. So the championship review goes like this. West Brom 0, Southampton 2, Plymouth 0, Leeds 2, Rotherham 0, Watford 1, Norwich 4, Cardiff City 1, Millwall 0, Wednesday 2. There was a red card, actually, we didn't mention. Ashley Fletcher.
Oh, yeah. Fletcher just being an idiot.
2 second yellows.
A yellow on 90 and then another yellow on 91st. It's like, I've seen a lot of people turn around and said, oh, we shouldn't use him now. That's it, he's done. The thing is, if the manager sees something in him and want to use him, you can't say anything, really.
It just feels like a waste of a loan, doesn't it, mate?
It does.
Which is unfortunate. But that, we then go to Birmingham, who beat Sunderland 2-1, talking about them getting a result. Preston 2, Blackburn 2, Leicester 1, Middlesbrough 2, Swansea 1, Ipswich 2, Huddersfield 1, Hull City 2. Huddersfield were winning that, and I was worried.
Same.
Stoke, Bristol City 0, QPR 1. Big result for QPR, that. Stoke City 0, Coventry 1. Which leaves the table like this. Leicester City are at the top of the table on 78 points. Leeds United are in second on 69 points. Leeds have won the last 5 games. Southampton are 2 points behind Leeds with a game in hand in third. It's amazing, isn't it? Ipswich showing what you can do. 66 points in fourth. It's that top of the table. It's crazy points for this stage of the season, to be honest.
If you actually look at it, it's weird because from first to fourth, there's a gap of where they're in their own little league. Then you go to playoffs all the way down to possibly Preston, where anyone could get in it now.
Yeah. And then you've got you look at the other end of the table and it's the same. People could get dragged down. So Rotherham, I think you're gone.
Down. Yeah.
19 points. You know, they've lost the last four and the one before that was a draw. We're 10 points ahead of them and we've not obviously been great this season. We are we are 23rd in the table, 29 points. QPR, 22nd in the table, 32 points. So we're closing the gap on QPR, but this is where it starts to get interesting now. We've gone from 8 points going, it's literally last week, 8 points, it's done. To being 4 points off 24th.
I said this, there's one thing that keeps giving me hope is that this manager came in when we were 13 points away from it and he got it to three.
We just need to stop giving people the gap. Like, we keep doing it where we lose the fixtures. But to be fair, if you look at the fixtures, and I will say Andy pointed this out as well. Apart from Huddersfield, if you look at the fixtures we lost, you wouldn't expect us to really win them anyway.
No.
If you actually looked at it over the course of the season, it's just the points are so harsh on us because of the place we're in.
Yeah.
Millwall are 33 points in 21st place. We are 29 points. QPR are only a point behind them. Millwall have been dragged right into
it. You know, this weekend as well, coming up, QPR Rotherham.
And QPR we are getting out of the relegation zone, aren't they?
Pretty much everyone has got Rotherham in that bottom bit. We all nearly play either each other or closer, damn it.
Rotherham, do us a favour at the weekend.
Yeah. I don't understand why Huddersfield has changed the manager. I think it's a mistake.
Yeah, I think the caretaker wanted it as well, so that's a bit weird. Yeah. Because they are on 34 points. So Huddersfield are only five. They've lost the 3 points, you know, the 8 points. They're five. We're 5 points behind them, but they are only 2 points from the drop at the minute. So it's really risky being in the position they are in. Stoke City are 6 points ahead of us. There are now three teams that are in safety that are within six or less points than us. Yep. You could even say Swansea because they're 7 points ahead of us on 36.
But you could also say Birmingham, if this is 6 to 8 weeks that Tony Mowbray's got to go, how's that going to affect them?
Yeah, I think they will probably be all right because they've got a game in hand as well and they're on 38 points. Like, if they can scrape together, I think they'll just about scrap it out. But we have got, is it 12 games left? 12 games left? Or 13 games left? It's 12 games.
Yeah, it's 12.
I think it might be 13, actually. Yeah. It's 46 games, isn't it?
Yeah.
12 games with six or less points, technically four points to safety. And we have got to play.
Are you ready for this? We've got Bristol City, Rotherham, Plymouth, Leeds, Ipswich, Swansea, Middlesbrough, QPR, Norwich, Stoke, Blackburn, West Brom and Sunderland last game of the season.
We have got to play three of those sides in and around us, right?
Mm.
Which technically means there's 9 points to play for in that zone. If you look at it like a form table of the teams, if Wednesday had like something in the dressing room that literally just said, these are the teams you have to beat. Let's have a form, forget the rest of the league table. Let's have a look at the form teams just here. You actually look where you're getting their points.
Do you want Huddersfield running?
Go on.
They got Watford, Leeds, Cardiff, West Brom, Rotherham, Coventry, Stoke, Millwall, Preston, Bristol City, Swansea, Birmingham, Ipswich.
They've got Ipswich on the last day.
Yep.
This is what I'm saying. We've got a hard fixture in Sunderland on the last day, but Huddersfield have got Ipswich.
And QPR's running goes as follows. Rotherham, Leicester, West Brom, Middlesbrough, Sunderland, Birmingham, Swansea, us, Plymouth, Hull, Preston, Leeds, Coventry.
So they're going to struggle in the last couple of days of the season, especially if Leeds are going for the title.
Mm.
And Coventry are trying to cement that playoff spot. Oh, okay. There's a lot to play for around.
And if you want Stoke, just in case Stoke gets dragged into it, and it's not looking pretty at Stoke, Stokes is, let me find it.
Well, Cardiff, Stoke are in it, mate. They might seem further away from us, but they're only three. They're only 2 points off, 3 points off QPR.
Were you ready for that running? Cardiff, Middlesbrough, Leeds, Preston, Norwich, Hull, Huddersfield, West Brom, Swansea, us, Plymouth, Southampton, Bristol City.
I'm getting slightly excited about. Like, obviously, there's a lot on
stake
here.
I'm taking it one game at a time.
No, I'm not getting excited about staying up, but I'm just excited about the prospect of the actual football that,
yeah.
You know, usually you're just looking at Wednesday's results, but we can be, for the next few weeks, we're going to be so invested in so many fixtures. Yeah. We're going to be looking at them going, come on!
Pretty much.
Come on, Wednesday, we can do this.
I think we can. I'm starting to think we can now, but again, I said it before, it's very bipolar with the Wednesday fan base and other fans, because one result we think, oh, we're done now, we can't do it. And then you look at what we've got coming up. As long as we take it one game at a time, and now it's one game, the nice thing is we're getting to a point of where there's only a couple of games where it's Tuesday, Saturday. The rest of them are weekend games. And I think when it's been Tuesday, Saturday, we really struggled just because of how intense our press is. I think having that week off to rest and recuperate is going to do us really the world of good.
Right, let's move in to the news and maybe some speculation topics. I know the Star did a bit of a speculation piece with an interview from Barry Bannon talking about his future next season. So I just thought we could start with our thoughts on where Barry Bannon will play his football next season.
I think he'll still be here. Danny Rowe pretty much confirmed it in the press conference. He said he'll be here next season. I think they've already kind of said where he's going to be.
Well, he said from the Star article, he said this, which is, I assume, taken from the press conference. I'm not 100% sure on that. So we'll just quote the Star. So I think Barry is a big part of this team and a big part of this club. Alongside Liam Palmer, they are players that have been here for such a long time. Rolls said, I'm very convinced, he, Adam, will be here. It doesn't matter which league. I like that he's also looking to see what he's wanted to do after his playing career, maybe be a manager at some time, and that is fantastic to be open to this as well. There's no issue, no problem. He will be a part of the team next season, end quote. Which is great, which is absolutely fantastic to hear, because I'm sorry, but we watched him against Millwall, and Barry Bannon, he's not getting worse, right?
He's getting better.
I wouldn't say he's getting better, because I've seen Barry Bannon for a long time.
I think he's getting better in the terms that he's not having to go and be here, there, and everywhere.
I think he's been able to let other people take control.
That's what I mean by getting better.
He doesn't have to, not every time, the ball doesn't always have to go to Barry Bannon and he has to be the only one to do it, which I think he's wanted the responsibility of. There's more of a system there, and Barry Bannon fits into that system, which is what you want. It's also interesting. Yeah. Did you see? I can't remember the podcast exactly, but Josh Windass was on it. All right, okay. So Josh Windass was on it, and he was very open, as Josh Windass often is.
Yes.
He was asked, "What do you think of?" So there was questions obviously coming from the audience and stuff during this, and he said, "So what did you think to Zisco Muniez?" And he went, "Well, we got 2 points out of 10 games that he played for us. So yeah, I think he was fantastic." Or he said something similar to that, which is just like, and then he was talking about Rull and about how serious he is and that he think he'll go on to be ridiculous. He says he's very, he didn't have enough positives to say about it. He had so many positives to say about him, which is a sign that we're in good hands there. And I did find it.
He got a little bit in trouble with the Rangers fans as well, saying it just doesn't compete it to an old firm, the Wendy crowd. It's just different level.
What do you mean? What did he say?
He basically got asked about old firm crowds. And stuff. What's the difference? Said it doesn't. When the fans don't even come close, like Wednesday fans are so much better than the old firm crowd.
All right, like, okay. The way you phrased that sounded like the other way around.
No. He basically said, and he's getting all pelters from Ranger fans, and he's like, I played in both, and I'm telling you, it doesn't come close.
Which is nice to hear. I think we've always, there's always been that understated thing. It's nice to see, you know, when you play teams you've not played in a while, like when we played Leicester and saw our away support, and they were like, I think fan bases forget what Wednesday can be like when we're supported. But yes, he said the thing about Peterborough and how Barry was basically on the pitch going, oh no, you're not going to mess it up, are you? And I just found that so funny. Like,
I love how he went and goes on the third goal and goes, oh dear.
Yeah, it was, it's nice to have those insights from players.
It was interesting also, we had Manchester United youngster in the Maino coming
who's
to do
now
some
probably talking about getting called up for England. He just came here basically like,
but I remember we were talking about this on the pod because we said we'd got some like Man United Academy players and we were like, who is it? We knew it was Maino, we knew it was Charlie McNeil. And it's interesting that that's happened. And you
see,
we
know Manchester United have always had that connection with Wednesday to sort of like, they used to, Sir Alex used to like sending players, things like that.
Remember Chris Eagles?
Yes, I do.
One of the reasons he got sent to Wednesday was exactly Josh was on about with the atmosphere. You get an atmosphere at Wednesday. You get told if you're rubbish, you get told if you're great, and that's something you need to have if you're going to play for Manchester United. It was one of the things Alex Ferguson said about when he would look at getting players on loan. He would look at people like a Wednesday because the crowd was there.
Yeah. What do you feel about Huddersfield appointing a new manager? Then we talked about it a little bit earlier, but
I think it's a mistake. It's a big risk, yeah. But again, you look at this again though. You look at what they said, and like their owners said, I'm very excited for the appointment. I start the process at the top of the list, creating a winning culture where there's no fear and taking bold options and trying to get 3 points in every game for every match. Or during the game. We also want to deliver a type of football that is excited our supporters, who love high tempo, front foot, all action style. And he said this with Darren Moore, and now he said it again. So the manager's got to play a certain way.
So it's Andre Brighton Writer. That's probably completely
wrong. You're
asking
the wrong person if you want to get something said.
But German system again. So they're going down that German route. Obviously, it paid well with them with Wagner. But they've
didn't pay well with the other one as well either, because they had two German managers.
I just think it's such a gamble at this stage, especially when you were getting results under the caretaker manager.
You look at that result versus Sunderland, you think surely that gives him a chance to like have the job till at least end of the season. There is a rumour going around that Beale might get sacked as well at Sunderland.
Yeah, a lot of the Sunderland fans weren't happy with the replacement of Mowbray, anyway. Was it Mowbray?
Mowbray got sacked when I think they were in sixth place. And it's like, okay, why? And then you look at, they bring in Beale, and it's like, Beale come in. He did all right at QPR. He was okay at, he did very well at QPR, actually. He did okay at Rangers, and then it seemed to go off the boil again. He'd gone in there. I think you look at, it's been a weird season actually in the Championship. There've been a lot of weird sackings and team players going elsewhere. Look at like if Plymouth stay up and Stoke go down, Schumacher leaving Plymouth to go to Stoke looks like a mental decision.
I just looked at that appointment and I found it so weird.
Yeah,
it's quite funny actually. I was really proud of Soph because her dad messaged her and went, oh, we've appointed this guy. She was like, I don't know who that is. So, but sort of like, as in, does anybody know who that is? When she said it. I will she's got no choice other than to be a Wednesday fan, really. Even though she's not that into football, she's probably been well integrated.
Do you want a really funny moment?
Go on.
So apparently Dom Houghton got mistaken for Rob Statton in a pub in the Peak District.
That's just. I have no idea what even to say to that because I wasn't expecting that. What? I'm also trying to think, why is that relevant? But I'm also like, funny story. It's probably because the journalists, people just ran the people who've covered Wednesday into general journalism.
Check out the picture you used on Twitter to go, eh?
I often get the, are you that person who does YouTube? Yes.
Yeah.
I do. Or I get the, I will say, my hair was looking quite blonde in summer when we went to Wembley, and it didn't take long for me to get into the ground. And a couple of Wednesday fans were giving me the Sam Ryder thing, and I was like,
God, yeah.
I was like, fair play. I'll take that. It's better because it's either Jesus or something, isn't it? So
you'd take that over the Jesus comment, wouldn't you?
I don't really care, to be honest, mate. It's one of those things that it's always been a weird thing when people comment on other people's hair. And it's usually the people without hair.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, I've noticed that. I'll go, what's that on your hair? And I'll go, this thing that you haven't got on yours.
Then again, there's nothing wrong with that either, but I just find it weird. Anyway. Probably going to be a shorter podcast this week because there's not a lot to talk about, but we will talk about the upcoming game on Saturday. It's Bristol City. How are you feeling about this one? They have got 44 points this season, the 12th in the Championship. Their last match was a loss to QPR. We need a win. It's a must win for Wednesday again.
It's at home though, which makes me a little bit more happy because we've got a better home record than our away record.
Their record's quite split though. So their home record's 24 points, their away record's 20 points. So they're quite balanced.
I don't know.
That's the one thing with it.
I think the big thing in this one, got to keep Scott Twine quiet.
Is he there now? I thought he was at...
Yeah. No. He left Hull in the January window and went to Bristol City. Now, the connection there is Manning was his manager at MK Dons where he got the best out of him. Bristol City are weird one because one week they'll be decent, one week they're not. And it's like, they're very inconsistent at times. So you would not have seen that result at the weekend. And the issue is, I hope that's not them during the training going, hey, we can't have this happen again, kind of thing.
Well, I'll trust Danny that he will analyse it. He will see with it. Can I also give a shout out to Beadle, who was getting some stick for his first couple of games and a couple of clean sheets.
Pulled off some cracking saves.
Young keeper, needed to bed into the side. I think straight away, his first game, he came in and people were like, no, we'd know better than Dawson. He is.
Yeah.
He's quite clearly better than Dawson. I think people go,
why Dawson not play? It's like, well, he's injured.
Yeah, but also the same people who went, why is Dawson playing?
In the last 10, Bristol City has only won 3.
Well, we've got to be ruthless.
They were all at home.
Coming to Hillsborough. Hillsborough's got to be a fortress. It's got to be now. So.
It already is. To be fair. Our last 10 is 4 wins, 4 losses, and a draw.
Wednesday win this, right? Let's have a look at this. So we did the rundown of fixtures in general, but QPR are playing Rotherham. Let's assume QPR win that, so we will be in probably trouble there. But if Rotherham do us a favour there, that's big. If we win that, Millwall are playing Southampton, right? So technically, you would assume if Southampton don't bottle it, and they've done that a couple of times, if we win that, that will put us, I believe, it'll put us a point behind Millwall. A point.
Also, don't forget, Rotherham have got Ipswich tomorrow night as well.
Oh, they've got the game
away.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Cardiff City, Blackburn, Plymouth, West Brom, Southampton, Hull.
And so Huddersfield have got Watford. Mm. So, the best case scenario.
Weird team.
The best case scenario is QPR lose as well, and actually we go on level on points with QPR, by the way. However, Huddersfield and Millwall lose. We end up a point behind Millwall, and we end up 2 points behind Huddersfield. Cracks the whole thing wide open completely.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to play for this Saturday, which is why this Saturday is a must win.
After the Bristol City game, it's Rotherham at home.
Big. And that's the thing is, that's a curveball for us because we know what Rotherham are like.
Rotherham away, sorry.
Rotherham are a curveball for us because when we play them, there's more on the line for their fans. So it's a case of we then have to come up against
that. We
don't
seem to play well at the New York either.
No. So a lot to play for in the coming weeks. We'll talk about the Bristol City game and that weekend. Hopefully we will still be optimistic come next week. It won't be another case of, I think it's too much now.
I will say something. The only weekend I got that I worry about is the back-to-back Leeds and Ipswich game.
That's where, if we've not made, this is why I'm saying like this is a must win. These next two games are a must win because you need to give yourself the ground now. So if you don't win against the sides that you're not expected to win against, it's not the end of the world.
Question for you. Do you think an international break is going to hinder us or it's going to help us?
It depends on the form running going in, basically, because it can be one. It can either, if we win everything until then, it's probably going to, you've then got to interrupt your form. But it's more work we can do on the training ground. I'd like us to work on set pieces and stuff over the international break, to be honest.
Our
so
set
wasteful.
Pieces have been horrible.
Absolutely woeful. But yes, Jake, that's all I've got for this week's episode of the Talking Wednesday podcast, unless you've got something to add at the end.
No, let's just keep grinding away at it and see what we can do, because I think if we take it game by game as fans, I think it's a lot easier than just looking and being the bipolar that we have been, like 1 week to 1 week. I think if we go game by game and just keep grinding out results, I think we'll get something out of this. I am starting to a little bit believe, but I'm trying to keep it very buried underneath the surface because I don't want to get too excited.
Now, there is a lot to play for, which means it can also go very wrong. So let's see what happens. Positive signs. I'm fully behind this manager. If we go Definitely. Down, he's bringing us straight back up anyway. That's the headspace I'm in. So as long as he stays, he sticks around and chance he doesn't do something silly. But yes, that's it for episode 155 of the Talking Wednesday podcast. Take care, and we will see you in the next episode of Talking Wednesday.
See ya.